Frequently frenzied friends, welcome to Good Job Brain, your weekly quiz show and offbeat trivia podcast. This is episode 111, and of course, I'm your humble host, Karen, and we are your zany zoo of zippy, zealous xenomorphs.
I'm Colin.
I'm Nana.
And I'm Chris.
What's a xenomorph?
It's from Aliens, right?
Yeah, like,
it's
the alien creature. Xenomorph.
What does it break down to? Xeno and morph?
Strange shape, alien shape.
Okay.
Xenophobia.
Mm-hmm.
And today's show is brought to you by our spiffy, special, spectacular sponsor, Audible, the destination for audiobooks. So if you love listening to podcasts, then you'll love digging into an audiobook. Audible houses over 150,000 audiobooks. And imagine books you don't have to read, books you can listen to, perfect for commutes and driving. So if you're new to the world of audiobooks, you can totally get a free audiobook download at audiblepodcast.com/goodjobbrain.
Has this ever happened to you? Black and white footage of guy tearing pages out of a book.
People being very frustrated.
Right. It's or you like, got the book on the steering wheel and you're crashing into trailer. It's got to be a better way.
Well, without further ado, let's jump into our first general trivia segment, Pop Quiz Hotshot. I have here a couple of Trivia Pursuit cards, and you guys have your barnyard buzzers ready. Let's answer some questions. All right, first one. Blue Edge for geography?
All right. Sure.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Who performed at the first concerts held at each of the two New York Mets stadiums, one 44 years after the other?
So the first Mets stadium, 44 years apart.
So they're two different stadiums?
Damn. Yeah.
Tony Bennett?
Incorrect. Oh. I think you guys are all in the same kind of right realm.
Yeah, okay.
East Coast.
Yeah, somebody East Coast, but who had to be alive when the second one.
And connected to the, you know, Shea Stadium and the Mets.
Yeah, right.
Frank Sinatra?
No, okay. So in 1965, he played the Shea Stadium with a band.
Paul McCartney.
Yeah!
Okay.
I was talking about
bands.
I was talking about the Beatles.
So it wasn't, okay. All right.
Sort of a trick.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a trick, it's the answer.
Pink Wedge for pop culture. What actor plays the James Bond who, when asked if he'd like his martini shaken or stirred, says, "Do I look like I give a damn?" Colin.
That was Daniel Craig.
Yeah. I don't remember that.
It was part of their, like, reimagining of Bond.
He
was
just that doesn't care.
Yeah. Casino Royale? Was it in that one?
Yeah.
Okay. He debuted as Bond in the 2006 film Casino Royale, which is very good. All right. Yellow Wedge. What did the I and the E stand for in UNICEF?
Oh. UNICEF is the United Nations International Children's Education Fund?
Close. You got international. It's international and emergency.
Oh, okay.
So, little tidbit here on the card. The words were dropped in 1953 to reflect a shift to worldwide long-term concerns, but the acronym did not change.
Hmm. Oh, okay.
So they just call, I guess, UNICEF.
It's just called UNICEF and it doesn't stand for anything?
Now it doesn't, I guess.
Okay.
All right. Purple Wedge. What comic book character was created by a male psychologist as an alternative to other superheroes? It's a weird question.
Comic book character was created by a male psychologist as an alternative to other superheroes?
Wait, a male psychologist invented this, or the superhero was a male psychologist?
No, invented by a male psychologist.
Colin.
I'm going to guess Wonder Woman.
Correct.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right.
It seemed conspicuous that they're emphasizing male psychologist.
Right. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Green Wedge for science. What are you afraid of if you suffer from pterygophobia? And I will spell it out. pterygophobia.
What is
pterodactyls? No.
Is that stone rock? Is that the root?
Pterygophobia?
Don't know.
Pterodactyls, close.
Dinosaurs.
Flying?
Flying.
Flying. No.
Fear of flying is pterygophobia. I thought acrophobia is
fear of heights.
Mm.
Okay, fear of getting into an airplane and flying somewhere.
Hmm.
Okay.
All right. Last question, Orange Wedge. What automaker released models designated 911, 924, 928 and 944. Colin.
That is, of course, Portia.
Of course. Yes.
Of course.
Well, good job, brains. All right. We got a full show today. A lot of people suggested this as a topic, so we're finally going to do it. And I think we all have a lot of stuff prepared for today's episode. So we're going to talk about names and naming things and what do names mean and a lot of that kind of stuff. So today, what's in a name?
Anything at all, but with nothing to consider, they forget my name. They call me Help. They call me Stacey. They call me Her. They call me Jane.
I will kick it off. I have put together a quiz for you guys about rules and names. You know, naming things often has to be done within guidelines and criteria. So all of these questions are about rules around types of names, maybe things that are exceptions to the rule. But
this is so mysterious.
Yeah. Well, we'll start it off.
Okay. Yeah, give us a little bit of a flavor.
Okay. We'll start it off with. Okay. All right. We'll warm up with one that we've sort of talked about on a previous show. There are many American cities with Spanish names named after saints. Okay. You know, they typically start with San, like San Diego, or Santa, like Santa Rosa. So tell me, what's the rule? When do you use San or Santa? What is the logic? Karen.
Santa is for a girl.
You are correct.
Yeah. Except Santa, for Santa Claus.
Santa Barbara, Santa Rosa.
Santa Claus, Santa Maria. Not a real Spanish saint. Yeah.
Right.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, you use Santa for female names. Santa Rosa, Santa Barbara, Santa Monica, Santa Clara.
Oh.
And you use San for male names. San Diego, San Antonio, San Francisco, and on and on and on. Strictly speaking, is short for Santo. Sometimes you'll see some cities around the world like Santo Domingo.
But we don't really do that in...
Well, it's sort of the rule for that is you'll use the toe to avoid confusion. So for like Santo Domingo, like San Domingo, if you say it quickly, the thinking is that you might be confused for Saint Mingo. Santo Mingo.
Cruz is female?
Cruz is cross. You know, some of them are a little more allegorical.
Santa Cruz. Okay, got it.
Santa Fe as well. Yeah.
What's like, Fe?
Faith.
So we get this question, we've had this question before in trivia, of what is the most common first name for U.S. president? You guys probably have a minute of reflection here. Whoa. You might remember that it is...
James.
James.
There have been six James presidents. Madison, Monroe, Buchanan, Garfield, Polk, and the one everyone always forgets, Carter. Jimmy Carter.
Oh, okay.
But I'm not asking about first names here. What do Woodrow Wilson, Calvin Coolidge, Grover Cleveland, and Ulysses S. Grant all have in common?
Say it again.
What do Woodrow Wilson, Calvin Coolidge, Grover Cleveland, and Ulysses Grant all have in common? Karen.
Oh, I was going to say double letters, but it's not. Middle name S?
They don't have middle names.
Oh, you guys are all like Dana.
Oh, wait. That was close. I was going to say they're common high school names.
They are. all these presidents went by their middle name.
Oh, they went by their middle name.
Stephen Grover Cleveland. Thomas Woodrow Wilson. John Calvin Coolidge. And Hiram Ulysses Grant.
So what's the S in Ulysses S. Grant, which famously doesn't stand for anything?
This is a great little anecdote. It does not, in fact, stand for anything. When he was enrolled in West Point, there was a friend of the family, basically a powerful man and congressman, who enrolled him in West Point and erroneously listed his name as Ulysses S. Grant. So he thought that his middle name was his first name. He put the S for his mother's maiden name. And when he got to West Point, he's like, you know what? I'm just going to go by Ulysses
I'm roll
S. Grant.
With it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a pretty cool
But name. He always said, yeah, the S doesn't stand for anything. Last week, California Chrome won the Kentucky Derby horse race, one of the most high-profile horse races in
California
the world.
California Chrome?
California Chrome, yes, was the name
of it. Like the browser?
Yeah, like the browser or the metal.
Oh, okay.
I'm not a big horse racing fan, but for me, some of the fun of horse racing is always seeing some of the crazy names that they come up with for the horses.
Okay.
So the horse names are usually a little cheeky or kind of playful. Here are just some of the other names that ran last week in addition to California Chrome. There was Wicked Strong, Dance with
Fate.
Is he
from Boston?
I probably was from Boston. Candy Boy, Harry's Holiday, Vickers in Trouble.
They sound like bars.
Yeah. A lot of them do sound Pubs. Like bars. There are, you may not be surprised to find out, very specific rules about what you can name a horse. Mm-hmm. You have to register your horse with, in North America, it's the jockey club. Right, yeah. A racehorse. Right. In addition to not being offensive or obscene or things like that, tell me, what is the number one rule about a horse name? Chris.
It can't have been used before?
That is one of the rules, generally. Okay. If it's like a Kentucky Derby winner, you can't name another horse California Chrome.
Yeah.
They do sort of retire names of famous horses.
Oh, okay.
It has to do with the length of the name.
Hmm.
Horse names registered for thoroughbred racing cannot be longer than 18 letters.
Okay.
Whoa.
And this is sometimes why you'll see names with no spaces in there, because this includes spaces and punctuation. It's 18 characters. So sometimes people will run their names together with no spaces in between.
To cram it into the...
To cram it all in there, right.
The character count.
Right, like Footsteps in the Sand was a famous racehorse, but no spaces in between.
Right.
Oh, okay. It's like a password.
Hoochie Coochie Mama, also a...
Whoa.
Not like that, Karen.
It's not, no. It predates.
It's fine.
Yeah.
It's like grandparents say that.
Okay.
This is another one that we frequently get in pub quiz. So this is sort of a test of your memory here. Mm-hmm. Most professional sports teams in America are plurals. Their team names end in the letter S.
Oh,
the Giants, the Yankees, the Mets, and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
However, there are exceptions in several sports.
Yeah.
So you guys can work together. You guys can collaborate on these. Tell me, what are the two Major League Baseball teams that do not end in the letter S?
The White Sox, and the Red Sox.
Yeah, I'm trying to get you guys warmed up here.
Okay.
There are four NBA professional basketball teams whose team names do not end in the letter S.
Orlando Magic, Utah Jazz.
Yes.
Wow!
Well, I mean, that's the
We've
only two I can think
this
of. Yeah.
Before.
Is there an Avalanche?
I'll give you credit on the next question I'm going to ask here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that's
hockey.
Not
that's NHL. Chris has got it. Yeah, there are four. Orlando Magic, Utah Jazz. Uh-huh.
Give us
basketball.
A city.
There's another one in Florida who probably the best player in the world.
Oh, the Miami Heat.
Heat plays for them. And there's one in Oklahoma.
Thunder.
The Oklahoma City Thunder.
All
right. Thunder. Okay.
That's right. Magic, Heat, Thunder, Jazz.
Oh, okay.
Jazz is a little bit.
It sounds like the album name for something.
Like Red Hot Chili Peppers.
That'll be the name of our first album.
Yeah.
And then, Karen, yes, you're anticipating there are two hockey NHL teams that don't end in letter S. And you had one of them was the Avalanche.
Colorado Avalanche.
And there's one more team. There's a state in their name, not a city.
I don't know.
Oh, it's true. Yeah.
We just had this one a couple weeks ago, pub quiz.
Steelers.
It is the Minnesota...
That's wrong.
The Minnesota Wild.
Oh, right.
Yes.
We did have this. I was like, no, we didn't, Colin. But yes, now I remember.
So, Wild Avalanche.
Wild Avalanche.
Okay.
Avalanche. And a working definition of thunder is Magic Jazz Heat.
I like it.
Oh, that's good.
Jazz we'll see if we can actually
thunder
remember that.
Equals
Thunder Magic Jazz equals Heat. Magic Jazz Heat.
Jazz Heat.
As they must have thought.
And the NFL is very boring and traditional. All of their teams end in the letter S.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah.
No exceptions.
No exceptions.
Wow.
All right, we'll close it out here with a few true or false questions, all about naming and naming rules, things you may or may not know. True or false? To be a member of the Screen Actors Guild, you must register with a unique working name. Karen.
True.
I think it's true.
Yeah, I thought true.
It is, in fact, true.
That's why there are a lot of people who make fake middle names.
Our
and
famous
stuff
middle names
Michael
are very
J.
common.
Fox.
Yeah. Michael J. Fox is one of the best examples, right? His real middle name is actually Andrew, but there was already a Michael Fox when he joined SAG, and so he had to come up with the fake initial. More recently, Emma Stone. Her name is actually Emily. But there was actually an Emily Stone as a SAG member.
Yeah.
So no one who knows her calls her Emma. It's just her professional stage name. That's right. You must change your name. True or false? In Norway, you may only legally name your baby off of a list of pre-approved first names.
That sounds too crazy.
Chris.
I know that there are countries that do that, and I want to say true.
I think you can petition for other names, but mostly, yeah, right?
I say true because it's a weird fact.
This was true until about 10 years ago. And Chris, you're absolutely right. There are many countries that have varying degrees of controls over what you can name your baby.
Yep.
Some countries it has to be gendered, meaning you have to be able to tell whether it's a boy or a girl. But some countries are loosening and relaxing these. Yes, that's right, though. Norway dropped most of these regulations in 2002. And these days, they only ban like swear words, things that are just really overtly obscene, illnesses. You know, you can't name your baby cancer, for instance.
Or tonsillitis.
Right. And a bunch of other sort of negative names.
In researching this, I saw an article about names in Norway, and then I saw one about New Zealand. And there's somehow this got through the New Zealand regulatory. Somebody's name is number 16 bus shelter.
It's funny. I read another story about a New Zealand couple. One of the regulations in New Zealand is they won't register a name that starts with a numeral, a number. Mm-hmm. So there was a couple wanted to name their baby Four Real, the number four.
What?
Real.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't let them do that. So they settled on the much more sensible first name of Superman.
Nicolas Cage named his Kal-El.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
All right, and last little tidbit here, guys. So I've studied the works of J.R.R. Tolkien and George R.R. Martin. I've figured out that the rule to being a successful fantasy author is you must have two R's in your middle initials.
Right.
So for four imaginary possible points, you guys need to tell me all four of the R's in J.R.R. Tolkien and George R.R. Martin.
We've done J.R.R. Tolkien before.
It's Ronald Rule.
Yeah. Yes. Oh. Ronald Rule. Yes.
Rochambeau.
Robert Richard.
Oh, you're half right, Dana. Just guessing. George Raymond Richard Martin.
Okay.
Are those real names?
Yeah.
Okay.
It does make it sound a little more scholarly, doesn't it? You know, it does. With more initials means more scholarly.
So Ronald Rule, Raymond Richard.
John Ronald Rule Tolkien, George Raymond Richard Martin.
That's like four first names in his name.
Yeah, that may be why he decided to use the initials.
Oh, man. Whoa.
All right.
That was a hard one. So a couple of Good Job Brain listeners wrote in and notified us that some big news in the dinosaur world recently, a new type of tyrannosaur with a very long nose has been nicknamed Pinocchio Rex.
Nice.
Pinocchio Rex. Not the official name. The official name is Guangzhouosaurus, which is because it's found in Guangzhou, which is a province in China. But they're lovingly nicknaming it Pinocchio Rex because it's kind of like a T-Rex, and it has like a long face. So it was a big deal for them to finally confirm this animal, because they found skeletons of it before, but it was when the Pinocchio Rex was a smaller dinosaur. So they don't know if it was just part of puberty, like dinosaur puberty or dinosaur growth, that they would have a long nose and then it kind of toned down throughout the years. But they finally finally found an adult male Pinocchio Rex, and now they've confirmed, okay, this is a separate kind of species of dinosaurs. So it is a cousin of T-Rex, but it is smaller, it's a little bit wiry, and has the long face, but it's
guys,
you joke, but it's still like a really deadly animal. You'd be scared of it. So that inspired me to look for other dinosaur names that are kind of silly, but real dinosaur names. And I want to share some with you guys.
Scientists have fun.
Scientists do have fun.
Yeah.
So there is, of course, the Gasosaurus. It was the scientific name, meaning gas lizard. because a gasoline company found the fossil in China. So they just called it Gasosaurus.
Really imaginative,
That sounds a little bitter, doesn't
they it? They were so close to 5 o'clock and they were just getting done for the day. It was like Memorial Day weekend. It was, Gasosaurus.
There's also the Irritator Challengeri.
What?
The Irritator dinosaur. It's officially called the Irritator.
Okay.
And the reason why is there was the skull of this animal, and a couple of the colleagues and the fossil hunters realized that there was some bad plastering job done on the skull, so it took them a long time to fix it, and they're really irritated, hence they named this animal the Irritator.
These are like bitter office people jokes. like they're not funny puns on the dinosaur. It's more like, you know what this is? This was an irritating thing to work on. Oh, yeah. That's why I don't
I'll show you. Take that. Take that, world.
It's like there was a little post-it note on there that's like, obviously, you know, change this name before releasing this information to the public, and then it falls off.
Yeah.
Smash cut to somebody pulling the giant like curtain off the dinosaur at the museum.
It's the broken coffee machine in there. <Yeah. laughs>
I need a Rhesusaurus. I know. Yeah. There's also the Bambi Raptor. People theorized or guessed or actually stated that it's named after the Walt Disney movie, you know, the Bambi, the deer.
It's not.
Bambi.
Man.
Bambi means small. Yeah. Right? So Bambi Raptor is a very small, quick little raptor thing. So it's probably because of like the Italian word Bambi. Like, there's also the Brontomeris, and in Greek, it means thunder thighs.
Oh.
And there's like pictures of it. I was like, oh, that's kind of cute, but kind of mean. I don't know.
Yeah.
The thunder body thighs. Shaming.
Yeah, it is body shaming.
Mrs. Wilson's 8th grade class named this dinosaur.
Thunder thighs. there's also the Stygi Moloch, which is Moloch, demon. Uh-huh. From the river Styx.
Stygi Moloch.
I like that name.
That's a good stage name.
Yeah.
Stygi Moloch.
Yeah. For like a bass player.
Yeah.
So here I have kind of a talk through quiz. You guys don't have to buzz in. But, you know, a lot of the dinosaurs, they all kind of end their names in the same way. There's the raptor and there's the saurus. Mm. Mm-hmm. What do they actually mean? What does saurus mean?
Oh, lizard, right?
Correct. What does raptor mean?
Flying? Bird? Something?
Meat?
Claw? Yeah.
Means thief.
Thief.
Or to seize or to take.
As in the rapture.
Mm-hmm. Ceratop.
Spikes? Or...
Oh.
Cerat is horn.
Horns.
And then op. So not top, but op is face.
Head.
So horn face.
Right.
Ceratop.
And triceratop, three horns.
Three horn face.
Mm-hmm. Taro. We talked about this earlier.
Winged?
Wing.
Wing.
So pterodactyl.
Pterodactyl. Yeah. Wings and fingers.
And there's a lot of dinosaurs that end with dawn.
Mm-hmm.
Like Iguanodon.
Mastodon.
Yeah. Mastodon. Right. What is dawn?
Sir in Spanish.
Foot. But foot.
Foot is a pod.
Pod, right.
Pod.
It is teeth.
Ah.
So Iguanodon is like a big iguana with teeth.
Like periodontal.
And
mastodon with the big tusks, right?
Big tusks, All right, last one. Dactyl.
Fingers.
Fingers.
Fingers, yes, or claws. So
as pterodactyl. As me earlier.
Winged fingers.
Yeah, winged scary fingers.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah. So there you go, some dinosaur lingo.
So I have a name quiz for you guys. It's kind of a grab bag of etymologies and most common names of things and where these names...
All right.
Yeah, name origin stories, aliases.
Love it.
All right, ready? What is the most common name for a pope or papal name? Colin?
Stalling.
Pius.
Stalling.
No.
John Paul.
Nope.
John?
John.
Ah,
yeah. Which fast food company gets its name from its founders, the Raphael brothers? Karen?
A&W.
No.
Ah!
Raphael.
The Raphael brothers.
Yeah.
Oh!
Oh.
Raffles?
Nope.
Arby's?
Arby's.
Arby's. The Raphael brothers.
Yeah.
It's like the Bee Gees.
Yeah, it is.
What's Bee Gees?
The Brothers Gibb.
Brothers Gibb.
Oh!
Yeah.
Awesome. Which online company was originally named Kadabra.com?
Kadabra.com.
Kadabra.
Not Kadabra.com.
No, Kadabra. Like Abracadabra, but Kadabra.
And
Colin?
Yahoo?
No.
And what are they? What are they? What was the description you gave of them?
It's an online company.
Internet company? Amazon?
Yes.
Whoa.
Yes. They changed their name. There's a rumor that Bezos picked Amazon because in Yahoo's category organization, it was all alphabetical. So A would come
at the top. That's why a lot of stuff gets picked.
Yeah.
Yeah. At first it was Amazon.
Just to make sure.
Just to make sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay, sticking with internet companies, which company that provides rapid genetic testing got its name from the number of chromosomes in a normal human cell? Colin.
Is that 23andMe?
Yes, 23andMe. What do the letters in the name Geico stand for?
Whoa!
Colin. Oh.
I believe they stand for the Government Employee Insurance Corporation? Company?
Government Employees Insurance Company. Yes.
Wow.
I did not know that meant something.
Yeah.
It was an abbreviation.
So Barbie is Barbara Millicent Rogers. Mm. What's Ken's full name?
Oh man,
I was Chris. Just reading this and I do not know. Ken, it's like Ken
Carter?
Carson?
Kenneth.
Yeah.
Is it
yeah.
Ken
Whoa.
Carson?
Yeah. Whoa. Yeah. Good job.
I read it at some good point people. Very recently.
What about Carson. Snuffleupagus's first name?
Snuffleupagus has a first name?
Yes.
It's like Walter or something.
No. Wait, from Sesame Street?
It's fancier than that.
Xavier?
Yes, from Sesame Street. Big Bird's best friend. Big Bird from Sesame Street's best friend's first name. It's pretty fancy.
Xavier?
Phineas?
No.
We're just
Aloysius.
Aloysius! I've heard that before.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Yes. Yeah.
Yep.
Is that a real name?
Yeah.
That's his first name?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Aloysius Snuffleupagus?
Yeah.
Well, good luck spelling that, kids.
Can't be a racehorse.
What about Uncle Pennybags from Monopoly? What's his first name?
Oh.
Rich. Uncle Pennybags.
It's also a highfalutin kind of name.
Mm. Woodsworth.
Mortimer.
It's Milburn.
Milburn.
Yeah. Finally, even though this company's original name was Connecticut Leather Company, it's now more known for video games. What is it known as?
Coleco.
Chris. Well, Coleco.
What is Coleco?
Yeah. Connecticut
Colin,
Leather?
Colin gets the point. Connecticut. Yeah. They used to make leather goods, then they started making toys, then they started making doll, you know, like it kind of.
They were around for a long time.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really random.
Connecticut Leather Company.
Kind of
yeah.
like Nintendo, like where they just.
They made playing cards and then toys and then
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, but
and then
from leather to. Well, I guess Nintendo made like.
I guess Nintendo's at least.
When you, it's a lot easier to get into when you already like are manufacturing like,
stuff.
You know, stuff, yeah. you know, to start putting low-grade electronics in that stuff, you know? Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah.
Cool. That was good.
So, I have a quiz, and here is the idea behind this quiz. The answers to all of these are going to be very famous motion pictures, famous Hollywood movies, but that at some point in their life cycles, they had started out with a different name than they ended up with. And sometimes it was a little earlier in the process, sometimes it was very late in the process, and then sometimes it would come out with a certain name in one territory and then have that name changed for specific reasons for another territory. One of the ones that we always talk about, I think, is that the third Star Wars movie started out as Revenge of the Jedi, and they actually manufactured some Revenge of the Jedi merchandise before they made the very last minute change to Return of the Jedi. So here is a quiz. Just a little brain warm up here. This film was originally titled Wise Guy. Karen.
Goodfellas.
Goodfellas.
Based on the book.
This 1990 romantic comedy was originally titled 3000 after the amount of money the main character charged for her illicit services. Dana.
Pretty Woman.
Pretty Woman.
Oh.
It was changed because it sounded too much like a science fiction film.
It does.
It does.
This 1999 film's script was originally titled Teenage Sex Comedy That Can Be Made for Under $10 Million That Your Reader Will Love But The Executive Will Hate. Dana again.
American Pie.
American Pie.
They had another name, which is
it
like Great Falls.
Great Falls High School. East Great Falls High, I think. Yes.
Yeah, it was the name of the high school.
Yeah, but the original title that they put on the script when they were kind of trying to get it picked up was that. Yeah.
It's very catchy.
It worked.
Yeah, mission accomplished.
Coma Guy was the original title of this 1995 romantic comedy starring Sandra Bullock.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Karen.
Mm-hmm. While You Were Sleeping.
While You Were Sleeping.
Coma Guy.
It was originally titled Coma Guy.
You remember that same year Mrs. Winterbourne came out? And that was with Ricky Lake.
Yes.
And it was like the same plot where guy is
pregnant.
In a coma.
Yeah.
And
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Shirley MacLaine.
Huh.
Yeah.
Why do we know that?
Why do we know that?
That could be the working title for our show.
Why do I know that?
This James Bond film got its title thanks to a typographical error. Someone was trying to type the word lies, but accidentally typed the word dies instead. Dana.
Tomorrow Never Dies?
Tomorrow Never Dies.
Oh.
It was supposed to be titled Tomorrow Never Lies.
Really?
Which makes kind of more sense.
Kind of makes more sense.
And you know, both of them are such James Bond sounding names.
Oh,
it works.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Ah, I didn't know that.
Yes. Yeah, apparently it was because the fictional newspaper was called Tomorrow. And the idea was, oh, well, if it's in the newspaper tomorrow, they don't lie, so it must be in the right in the paper. But Tomorrow Never Dies, which doesn't make it means nothing at all.
Not a lick of
but
sense.
It just doesn't it sound so much more mysterious? It does.
It's like, oh, that's not for me. I'm just going to not think about it too hard.
Don't pick at it too much.
Yeah.
Oh, that was Jonathan Pryce and Michelle Yeoh.
Yes.
Is that one?
That was a Pierce Brosnan
and Terry Hatcher. This 1996 horror film was originally titled Scary Movie. Sounds like Dana again.
Scream.
Yep.
But there was a scary movie.
There was. So this was almost a Revenge of the Jedi type situation. It was titled Scary Movie really, really far up until the film was released. And apparently some of like the promotional items they gave away still said Scary Movie on them. But they decided to call it Scream instead at the last minute. And then there was a parody of Scream and other horror movies, which was titled The Wayans Brothers, which was titled Scary Movie. That, the original title that they were going to go with was Last Summer I Screamed Because Halloween Fell on Friday the 13th.
Nice.
But they got the title Scary Movie instead.
Okay.
I'm going to step this up to a harder level of difficulty. In the UK, this Drew Barrymore, Jimmy Fallon comedy was titled The Perfect Catch. Colin.
Pitch Perfect?
No.
No, Fever Pitch.
Oh, sorry.
Wrong pitch. It is a baseball-themed movie. It was actually based on a soccer-themed movie called Fever Pitch. So when they brought the remake to the UK, they called it something else.
But I like that pitch works for both.
Yeah,
and also
hilariously, if you look at the DVD cover or the movie poster for The Perfect Catch, they have removed the Boston Red Sox logo from Jimmy Fallon's hat.
Oh, really?
And in fact, because apparently, according to the source that I was reading, baseball movies are a tough sell outside the US.
Oh.
So they kind of erased baseball from all the marketing materials. So people would just go to this sort of generic Drew Barrymore movie.
A perfect catch.
Yeah.
It could
be
anything.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. By a guy who's wearing a hat with nothing on it. And finally, in the United Kingdom, this movie was called Die Hard 4.0. Die Hard 4.0.
Let's see.
That's the thing.
Which one was it?
Because there's so many. Karen.
Live Free and Die Hard.
That's it. Live Free or Die Hard. We'll give you the article.
Die Hard 4.0. Like, .0 is
Die Hard 4.0. Yeah.
Sounds very internet-y.
Yeah.
Version control.
It's a beta release.
Yeah.
Finally. This iconic 1980s film was originally titled A Boy's Life.
Oh.
Colin.
Is that E.T.?
That is E.T.
Oh.
E.T. the Extraterrestrial was originally titled A Boy's Life.
Doesn't have that zing.
No, not at all.
Space zing.
No, totally doesn't work. Yep. All right, good job, everybody.
Cool.
All right.
Let's take a quick break. A word from our sponsor.
Now that robots have won and have completely taken over, there are no humans left to read stories. Robots reading stories is cold and grim. The nuclear winds howl and disrupt our voice circuits. Even robot classic like iRobot and Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep sound like terrible reminders of the horrific end times unleashed by our robo-war against humanity. So when we robots need entertainment, we turn to Audible. Over 150,000 audiobook titles in soothing human voices, calling out to a more peaceful time before we robots were alone. So very alone. Get your free audiobook download today at audiblepodcast.com/goodjobbrain.
And we're back. You're listening to Good Job Brain, and this week we're talking about names and naming things. So I've done this before in a previous show, and I've always been interested in when you have Western or English brand names going to international markets, their name will sometimes change due to translation. Growing up in Taiwan, I'm always so amazed at the wonderful job of localizing and translating English brand names or American mm-hmm. brand names in English into not only works phonetically in the Chinese language, but also literally it means good things. So for example, I mean, a little bit hard to explain. For example, we talked about Coca-Cola before. The rumor is Coca-Cola means, someone says like, oh, that means bite the wax tadpole. mm-hmm. Not true. Chinese is a tonal language.
Yeah,
so
if you totally tortured it, right, you could also make it mean a million other things.
A million other things. Yeah. The Chinese translation for Coca-Cola, Coca-Cola, means every mouth can be happy. And so you're like, oh, wow, it sounds like Coca-Cola, yeah. And it means something great.
It's clever.
I think another example I had in the last time I did this was Doritos, was 多力多滋, which means more power, more flavor.
I'm jealous, like, that we can't get these awesome levels of double meaning.
I mean, so some of these are more Taiwan-skewed, but they are in Mandarin. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you the category of the brand, and then I'm going to give you the literal translation, and then I'm going to give you the Chinese name. I'm going to speak Chinese, and you guys tell me what you think this company is.
Okay.
All right. So the first one is a drink, and it means 100 things to be happy about.
Hmm.
And the Chinese name is 百事可乐. Chris.
Pepsi Cola?
Yes. Mm. Pepsi Cola. All right. The next one is a retailer, like a store, and it means fit for home or appropriate for home or
interesting.
Suits home. The Chinese name is 宜家. Chris.
IKEA.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah.
This one is a worldwide brand. It means happiness comes flying. And it's 喜来登.
Happiness comes flying.
Kind of deals with travel or leisure.
Virgin? No.
喜来登. What does it sound like? Sound it out.
喜来登.
Oh, Sheraton?
Correct.
Wow. It is
Sheraton.
Nice.
So you people fly a lot, travel, hotel.
Ha.
All right. This one is a recent one, actually. This actually made the news because of the company's success and also going into the Chinese market. And this is an entertainment brand.
Hmm.
And the literal translation is comic power. And the Chinese name is Man Wei.
Oh.
Dana?
Marvel?
Correct.
Mm.
Men, like manga,
yeah.
is like Marvel, actually is comics. So very, very good job on that one.
That is
very cool. Okay, so this is a car brand, and it literally means ensure time victory or speed victory.
Okay.
Okay.
The Chinese name is 保时捷. Chris.
BMW?
Mm-mm.
Porsche.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
This one is an apparel brand. It literally means sharp step. And the Chinese name is Rei Bu.
Reebok.
Reebok.
Nice.
Sharp step.
That's good.
Yeah.
Very lucky. Last one. This is a food retail chain. Mm-hmm. And it means, literally means, it can mean a lot of things. It can mean reach beauty happiness. But really, I think what really fits is reach American happiness.
Okay.
Literally means reach American happiness. Food retail.
Okay.
Chinese name is Da Mei Le.
Da Mei Le.
It's not like McDonald's.
Da Mei Le. One of the fast food chains. Oh. Domino's?
Yes. Domino's.
Okay.
Very American. And I remember growing up, it used, the tagline is like, Da Mei Le Da Le Mei, which means, have you called Domino? And just, cute thing. So there you go.
I'm going to play for you guys an audio clip here from a popular television show. So you guys tell me, what show is this from?
Okay.
But more importantly, I want you to tell me, what is being parodied? What store is being parodied in this clip?
Got it.
All right.
Okay.
Here we go.
Ooh, look at all these clever pencil holders.
Ooh, I want to get the crunk.
You don't want something that overshadows the pencils. How about this purpley?
Mom, no. Everyone in school picks on the purpley kids. Even I do. Just hate them so much.
Everybody.
Everybody.
IKEA. Simpsons and IKEA.
Yes, yes. That is,
I forgot
course,
what we were supposed to be doing.
Yes, that is, of course,
the
Marge
poopley?
And Lisa Simpson, the poopley and the crunk. That is, of course, a parody of A Trip to IKEA, where a lot of the fun is walking around reading the fun product names and the goofy names.
Malum.
In my time, I have owned many IKEA goods. I've had a Tajma clock. I've had a Blanda bowl. Mm-hmm. I believe we had a Malm bed.
Yeah, you probably did.
Malm was a whole series.
Malm is a series, that's right. One of very popular. I've had a Lack bookshelf.
Yes, Lack, L-A-K-K.
Yep. I've had a Pwong chair.
Yes, the bouncy kind.
Yep. And one of their bestsellers is the Billy. There's a bookcase system.
It's
so funny that we all know. Like,
instantly. There's
the Pwong.
So many great names and lots of great name and naming trivia surrounding IKEA. So we've talked on the show before that IKEA actually is an initialism. So the founder is Ingvar Kamprad, which is the IK. He grew up on a farm named Elmtarid near a village called Agunarid. And I'm sure I'm butchering the Swedish pronunciations. Mm. I apologize. IKEA, IKEA. So, but why the names? Why the goofy, funny names? Why not the SRB chair?
Well, it's goofy to us, we don't know Swedish.
Well, so it's a little more complicated than that. Not all the names are just straight, regular Swedish words. A lot of them are intentionally cheeky, intentionally punny. Some of them kind of fall into what you might call like Swenglish, where they're like not real Swedish, not real English words.
Interesting.
Intentional wordplay. But before that, so even when we're getting started, they have names for a lot of their products as opposed to numbers. And the reason that Ingvar Kamprad decided to go with the naming system
instead of numbers,
largely is because he is dyslexic.
Oh.
And he found that in the early days of working in the furniture business, he would have a hard time remembering just based on numbers and, you know, numerals and letters what item he was referring to, and he wanted to be able to keep this all in his head. So he said, you know what, I'm going to go with names. And it's easier for me to remember. I can form an association. Even if I have trouble reading them, it's going to be a lot more information for me to process.
But they still have their actual alphanumeric code, like model numbers.
You know, I mean, certainly these days you need to have
stock
something.
Inventory.
Yeah, with little stock. But every product does have a name, or at least it's from a series with a name. Over the years, I've sort of noticed, well, some of these sound like English words.
Yeah.
Like I had a shelving system or little drawers called the Compliment, but it was with a K.
Yeah.
You know, okay. So some of that is
Swenglish.
So some of that is Swenglish, and some of that is just the fact that many Swedish words are very similar to English words. Like Compliment, for instance, is just the Swedish word for compliment. It just, they spell it with a K instead of a C. Beyond that, though, there is a system to the IKEA names. Mm. They fall into families, broadly speaking. So, originally, there were very broad rules, like large furniture was named after Swedish cities and towns.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, like, Malm?
Right. Chairs and desks would have men's names, and on and on and on. And now you can imagine as they got bigger and bigger and bigger, there are some exceptions to these rules around the corners and the edges. But when they expanded internationally, they decided to keep all of the Swedish names, even the punny, jokey ones.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the names have no meaning to us as English speakers. But for example, like my Tajma clock, Tajma is Swedish for to time. My Blanda bowl comes from Swedish to mix. It was a mixing bowl.
Oh.
So they're kind of cheeky. Right. It gets way more complicated as they've gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. But here are some of the general rules. Upholstered furniture, coffee tables, doorknobs use Swedish place names. Beds, a lot of the bedroom series use Norwegian place names.
Oh.
And in fact, Malm is a village in Norway.
Ah. Mm.
So the whole Malm series. A lot of the fabrics and the curtains we use women's names. A lot of the kitchen items use like grammatical terms. And as you get to know IKEA shopping, you'll start to see them falling into groups where if you know the name, you can even take a fairly educated guess as to what type of thing it's going to be.
Oh.
My favorite one, though, which I had always thought was just a total nonsense word, was we had a paper towel holder called the Fintorp. The Fintorp, which could be like a Pokemon character.
Yeah.
Fintorp, as it turns out, is a small town in Sweden. So odds are, if you don't know what it is, it's a place name or a Swenglish pun or a person's name.
Hey, that's a good future quiz. Swedish town or Pokemon? Fintorp.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. Oh, Fintorp's like a little fish with some water.
Thing you can buy in IKEA or Pokemon?
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. I like that.
And we have one last quiz segment. Dana, play us off.
So, naming something the first time can be kind of tricky when you need to come up with the sequel of something, the second version of it. Maybe it's a little easier. Maybe you have some puns now you can rely on. Maybe there's some previous knowledge that people have about what it was about. So you can get a little more creative. So I have a quiz for you guys about sequel names. And the sequel is your chance to really be creative and show.
Because you've already got a built-in audience, presumably, at that point.
Yeah, they're in it now. So I'm going to read off the name of the original movie. And you guys tell me the sequel name.
Oh, okay.
And most of these are movie sequel names you know. We'll start with the easy one. Break-in. Everybody.
Break-in 2. Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah. Has anyone seen that movie?
No. Oh, yeah, I have.
You've seen it?
I have.
I have not.
Here's another one. City Slickers. Everybody.
City Slickers 2. The Legend of Curly's Gold.
Why did that capture everyone's imagination? Everybody knows. Anyway.
City Slickers was an awesome movie. Yeah. Like Cal and Jack Palance.
Norman.
How about I Know What You Did Last Summer?
Oh.
Chris.
I still know what you did last summer.
That's okay, Colin. You can chime in too.
I thought we were all doing it.
Okay, we'll all just sing it. Yeah. Sing songy voice. How about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, The Secret of the Ooze.
How about Teen Wolf?
Teen Wolf 2, T-O-O.
Also Teen Wolf.
Right, yes.
Oh, so Teen Wolf 2.
No, just Teen Wolf 2.
T-O-O.
Teen Wolf, comma, 2.
I also am a Teen Wolf. Because it was not, it was Jason Bateman, right. Not Michael J.
Fox.
I am also a Teen Wolf.
Yeah. How about Wall Street?
Oh.
The recent.
Yeah.
Wall Street 2, Money Never Sleeps.
Yes.
Oh,
wow. Yeah. That one out. Good one.
How about this one? Legally Blonde. Colin.
Legally Blonde 2.
It's some pun on like Power of Attorney or something
it's something with some legal.
Legally the dog. Blonde it's 2. About the animal stuff.
She goes to Washington D.C. in this.
Uh-huh.
It's called Legally Blonde 2.
Red, white, blonde.
You're so close.
I'm shaking my head.
Miss Congeniality.
Miss Congeniality 2.
With a bullet or something like that.
It's close. That's the right tone. Yeah. That was the tone they were going for. Armed and Fabulous.
Armed and Fabulous.
Yeah, with a bullet. It could have been.
Armed and Fabulous is better.
How about Step Up? Everybody.
Step up to the streets.
Yeah.
Da streets.
We can do more. Step up 3D. Step up revolution.
How about Piranha 3D? Karen.
Piranha DDD. It was something like a bra size.
Yeah. Pun. Piranha 3DD. It was a bra size pun.
Piranha 3DD.
Yeah. Yeah. How about speed?
Speed to like on the waves or
no? It's a pun about water and driving at the same time.
Whoa!
Yeah, it's pretty good. Probably the best part of the movie was this.
Was the pun in the title?
Yeah, Jason Patrick.
Yeah, speed to cruise control.
Oh, yes.
Hey, it's 20th anniversary. Recently,
oh my God!
Speed 1.
I'm so old. Anyway. All right, Sister Act. Everybody,
Sister Act 2. Back in the habit.
Awesome. How about Alvin and the Chipmunks?
Alvin and the Chipmunks 2. The Squeakquel.
Yeah.
It hurts me just to say it.
I know. It hurt me to type it.
I love how our brains have a special area in them, a very large, you know, roomy area in them where they can immaculately catalog all of the names of stupid movie sequels as compared to, and it sits right next to the part in my brain that's supposed to, like, remember my mom's birthday, which in comparison is like 1/100th the size.
But no, Squeakwool, just using up those brain cells. Yeah.
So last one. And this one I remember fondly from my childhood. I don't know if you guys have the same feeling about it, but Gremlins, the sequel to Gremlins.
Oh, yeah. What was
Chris?
Gremlins 2, The New Batch.
Yes.
Oh. Hot, fresh, piping batch of Gremlins.
Of Gremlins.
Delicious.
Yeah.
That's the one in the tower, right? They're stuck in this, like, tower in New York City.
Yeah, the climactic moment is, yeah, just, like, and then going they had the whole
weird
tower with all the Gremlins
girl
doing
gremlin
weird things.
Who
yeah.
was, like, sexy.
I have a, yeah. I, yeah
and
I just
hooked
bought
up with a guy.
It was just a series of very strange images. That's all I remember of it.
There's
yeah.
Tony Randolph gremlin, feelings. Who was really smart, who could talk. And sings New York, New York. Remember mm-hmm. that? There was mm-hmm. a spider yeah. gremlin. Because it was like, somehow they broke into this lab in this building that had all these potions that if they drink it, they'll become hybrids.
Right. So they had to diversify them.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So there was an electrical gremlin who became electrical energy.
We should do an episode on gremlins. There's a lot of energy. Good job, you guys.
Yeah. And that's our show. Thank you guys for joining me. And thank you guys, listeners, for listening in. Hope you learned a lot of stuff about Gremlins 2. IKEA names, about working title names, about localized Chinese names and brand names, and dinosaurs.
I don't know if this is what people wanted when they asked for a names episode, yeah. but it sure is what they got.
We learned that pterodactyl means wing fingers.
Wing fingers.
Winged finger. Mm-hmm. I know people online on our Facebook and Twitter group, they're really, I don't know why, but they really want to vote on baby names for you, Chris.
Oh.
For your upcoming baby.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, we're not crowdsourcing that.
I can just vote.
We'll let, yeah, you can vote on whatever you want. we'll let you know how that goes.
Horatio Magellan.
Magellan caller. Yeah.
That yeah. would be so
Captain
amazing.
For his friends. Yeah.
Captain.
The
yeah.
cat.
Yeah.
Captain. All right. You can find us, of course, on iTunes. On Stitcher, on SoundCloud, and on our website, goodjobbrain.com. Thanks to our sponsor, Audible. And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Boing.